faith for today. We are in a time where our faith is based on God, represented in the form of Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh, came to live with us. But we never seen Jesus in the physical realm like the disciples and the people of the day when Jesus was walking. But he did say that he was going to send one greater than himself. So we have the Holy Spirit now to help us, guide us, and understand. And by faith, we trust that God had sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for the purpose of the forgiveness of sin and the life everlasting. We have in Monticello, I don't know if you ever did it, there's a ghost tour in Monticello. Do you, any of you believe in ghosts? Our daughter there is a little crazy. And they went last weekend on the ghost tour, and then they went this weekend on the other ghost tour, and they roam around and they go to these different houses that supposedly have ghosts in them, and the opera house is supposed to have ghosts in them. We've been to the opera house a lot, and I had never experienced a ghost, but I know there's some people that have seen ghosts, and you know, I think that's something, especially coming up now on Halloween, which is a secular event that come from the word All Hallows Eve, where they celebrated saints that went home to be with the Lord. And then, of course, the next day, then being November the 1st, we celebrate All Saints Sunday. But people in general, I think, always have a question or a little anxiety sometimes as you get into a dimly lit street or even a corner during the month of October when kids are out like adults and they're sitting around the fire and telling ghost stories and witnessing strange phenomena. Have you ever experienced any of that? Things occur that just don't seem to make sense and can't explain why. I was watching the news this morning, and there was a guy, I think he was in Massachusetts, and he's riding a bike, playing the guitar, and he's that headless rider. Have you ever seen some of those stories in there? Well, when we were serving at Waukena, one of the walkers, some of their descendants, and Stan Monroe, he did that every year at we had a fall festival, and he would get on that horse and go around with the headless thing. It was interesting. It's really a conversation piece. But I think in general, all of us are fascinated by ghosts, and you probably have some of your own stories. So why is it so easy to believe in bumps in the nights and spirit in our homes and inns, and yet it's so hard to believe in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? That seemed to be one of the questions that was on Jesus' mind when he addressed some of these Pharisees, as we read in Matthew's text. Jesus asked him, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" And the Pharisees said, "Well, he's the son of David," meaning the biological ancestor of King David of Israel. They gave Jesus a general statement about genealogy, but Jesus was looking for a spiritual, supernatural answer. And he challenged them further when he said, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit of God, calls the Messiah Lord? The Lord said to my Lord, 'Set at my right hand, and I will put your enemies under his feet.' And if David calls him Lord, how can the Messiah be his son?" Well, the Pharisees were dumbfounded. They had not thought about the way that Jesus was talking. They used their own logic to undermine their assumption that the Messiah is just an ordinary man or teacher descended from the line of David, come to deliver Israel from the bondage of the Roman control. That's what they thought. And that's what the Pharisees believed about the Messiah. But Jesus' concept of Messiah is much different. Jesus identified the Messiah as himself, not the Son of David, but the Son of God. Now that's a horse of a different color. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, and he truly was the Messiah that was promised to Israel, even though they didn't recognize him. But it requires us to put aside some reason and logic sometimes in our everyday expectancy and normal situations and being familiar to embrace the supernatural, the invisible, if you would, the spectacular, that's extraordinary. It requires us to speak in ghost speak or ghost talk. And I always found it interesting. The King James translation is a good translation, and it's a good study translation. But some of the things that they translated in the King James, which we now in our Pentecostal brothers and sisters still use it to this day, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, the Spirit of God is not a ghost, but that's the way it was translated, because they were linking ghost and spirit in the spiritual realm. But it requires us to engage in this kind of talk, to have ghost speak. So the idea of Messiah, who is actually the Son of all invisible, all powerful, all creator, out of this world himself, God, a Messiah who is God, incarnate, made human through the birth of a virgin, is definitely out of our comfort range. So the Holy Ghost is usually reserved for us somewhere between Harry Potter and the Headless Horseman. Now, we believe the story, but we don't see it in our actual truth in the way that we live. If we did, we'd be a lot more spooked about our behavior and a lot more optimistic about our future. And my hope and prayer is that we're all optimistic about our future, because in these challenging times, we have to keep our eyes on the mark of the high calling. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, or you go crazy in this society. Because the promise that we have, something much better ahead, eternal life. I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promise coming again, we have hope. Hope. The problem is, like the Pharisees, though, sometimes our minds are usually rooted in reason. But in truth, that's a form of agnosticism. Christianity is the true belief in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, a resurrected from the dead, God made human, who currently and consistently is manifesting himself today as the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. We can sit and talk to God anytime, anywhere, because our spirit lines up with his spirit, and we're actually to be in the presence of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So yeah, Jesus went back to heaven as the form of a human, but he had sent one greater, the Holy Spirit, which we all have a relationship with. We can develop that relationship, or we can shut him out. If we shut God completely out of our life, that's what they call the unforgivable sin. Every other sin is forgiven because of what God has done for us through Christ. So it's near impossible to commit the unpardonable sin, shutting God completely out of your life. It's near impossible, although some people have managed to do it. So it's very important that our forefathers created creeds like we did with the Apostles' Creed to remind us of who and what we truly believe as a love relationship with God through Christ. It's utterly fantastic. But the origins of our faith reveal that we must put everything we know as real in our world aside to embrace the supernatural as true, and the resurrection from the dead is real. Because without the resurrection, we wouldn't have any hope because of the resurrection of death. He broke that bondage over sin and death, giving us hope. So while loving our neighbors, as they talked about in the scripture, and being a good person are wonderful attributes, we all should do that. And to be the kind of person that God wants us to be, this is not what comes foremost from being a Christian and adhering distinctly to the Christian faith. So what is a Christian? Well, being a Christian simply means believing in Christ. Not a genealogical, merely a human type of person, not simply biological Messiah, who was an extraordinary teacher and healer and wisdom giver when he was here. And as we look at some of the letters from Paul, the only thing that matters is that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God who died, was resurrected from the dead, and lives in the form of the Holy Spirit to guide us in power and glory. The Apostle Paul, it is the only thing that really matters when you look at Paul's teaching. Jesus' half-brother James and Paul, if you look at some of them, think, well, they're in conflict with one another. No, they're not in conflict with one another. They're just emphasizing some of the trueness of who God is through Christ. So as we celebrate this day called Reformation Sunday, we need to know that it really matters. It really matters what we don't believe. It really matters what we do believe. For everything in our future as the church is grounded in the belief established in our past, which continue to be fueled in the present and launched into the future. That's why I said that we have faith today for our modern world. And without our faith today, we would be hopeless. Thanks be to God through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forefathers that come and started churches, because really what the church is all about is to come together to encourage one another in the faith. We have a biblical mandate to do that. And by belief, I don't mean habits and traditions and likes and dislikes and normal buildings and music that we've always said, well, most of the famous words in the church is, well, we've always done it this way. It's a kind of program or worship. But the only belief that will really fuel a church in the power of the Holy Spirit is the truth and the belief in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the living hope on which each and every one of us can count on. Power to resurrect people. Power to bring communities together. Power for the churches and power for the world. I think that's the only thing that's really going to lead us out of this pandemic. We've had pandemics in this country for over 100 years and probably even before in other parts of the world. And we are here today as we've come out of those and tried to do the best we could, tried to get some medical things and all things that we can do. So we have to have hope, hope in the future, faith for today. And as we look at the Apostle Paul in one of the lectionary readings when he was talking to the church of Thessaloniki, he was praising them because of the community, pointing them to the marvel about how much faith they had and how their people exhibited the faith. So, this week in the scripture reading, the amazing things about the prophets of God and what they have done, they all done it in the power of the Spirit. Perhaps that's what should be the greatest test for the church today as we look in our past for wisdom and stare into the future with determination. And I think all of us, a question that we should always ask ourselves sometimes is, how strong is my faith? In other words, do you believe in the supernatural force of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you truly, really believe it? And if you do, then you know all things are possible with God. It says in Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So in a sense, the church today is on a cusp of a new frontier, if you would. And the church must decide who and who it wants to be. Do we want to be a part of a secular world? Do we want to be a part of a world of faith that we have in Christ so that we can hang on to that hope? You see, without hope, we would all be, well, we can hope for tomorrow. By faith, we know the church is going to be there tomorrow, and by faith, we know tomorrow's going to come. Just imagine what kind of faith you exercise every night when you lay your head down on that pillow and you go to sleep. You're not unconscious, but pretty much you don't know what's going on unless you're dreaming. I've been dreaming weird dreams for the last couple of months. I don't know what they're all about, but it is by faith that we put our head down on that pillow that tomorrow is going to come, and we're going to wake up. And the first thing we ought to do when we wake up is thanks be to God for another day. For no church is ever going to be resurrected by its own power, nor by its own might, nor by its own ideas and efforts, or not by any programs, not music choices or zeal for numbers in the pew. But the church of Jesus Christ will be resurrected by Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And based on the power and the zeal of its faith. Luke chapter 18 verse 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus asked that. in Luke's gospel. So our question for all of us is, will he find it here? Will he find it here individually? Not only the church, the building, but the church here. Will he find faith when he returns? He's going to return. He promised that he will, and I know that he will. What did I do with it again? Ah, there it is.